Welcome, fellow Last Placers, to another episode of LPF Debrief, where we talk about comic books, TV shows, and movies. And on today's episode, we will be discussing episode 4 of Andor, the show that is on Disney Plus, exclusively to Disney Plus. We're going to be talking about that. I am doing this one solo. Chris is out in Portugal. Just the same housekeeping as always, guys. Like, subscribe, rate us on Spotify and Apple Music. That way it can help us with our visibility. If you don't mind, that would be a great help. If not, that's fine too. Just remember, spoilers are ahead. If you guys don't want to listen to any of the spoilers, go ahead and hit pause, come on back, and then listen to what my thoughts were on today's episode. So after that, I think that's pretty much it. So yeah, let's get right into it. So we start off this episode with Luthen and Cassian on the ship. He basically is seeing the ship for the first time and seeing the speed. It going to hyperspeed kind of took him aback because he didn't think that freighter could do that. So that was really cool. But we see this is basically the setup of to where we're going into the season. Luthen basically gives Cassian some form of an ultimatum, saying like, look, you have pretty much three options here. You can do this mission that I initially got you for, or you can, you know, I can put you somewhere and you can start running. Or you could try to kill me, take the ship, and do whatever you want. So Luthen, you can tell, is a man that is desperate to try to get the rebellion to start winning and start being in positions that can help defeat the Empire. Also, guys, if I cut off at some point, I'm going to keep this in here because I am recording this while the hurricane is going on. I just want to see if I can get this out for you guys. But anyway, we do see that, and he's a desperate man, right? So he kind of sees Cassian as one of those people who can help him propel the war and help, you know, do what they need to do in order to discover the secrets and things of how they can help win this war. So he's basically coming out with a very nonchalant, like, but he's very serious demeanor about, hey, listen, if you can do this or not, but like, we need you. I know who you are. I know what type of person you are. I know how much you dislike the Empire. I'm hoping that I can draw out that dislike for the Empire from you so that you can help us with this fight. Obviously, that triggers something for Cassian because he does have this animosity towards the Empire, which a lot of people who were in Cassian's position would have. And then he basically says, you know what, I'll do it. And then Luthen says, hey, come up with a new name. He does, which is Clem, which is from his adoptive father, if you remember that flashback that was in a couple of episodes before. So that was really cool, just seeing that whole scene and how they played out and basically the desperation of what the rebellion, or we don't even know it's the rebellion yet, but the start of the rebellion, because these are things that, you know, are happening after, you know, the events of Revenge of the Sith. So a lot of the way that, and it's 10 years after that, so a lot of the Empire has already taken over most of the regions in the galaxy. So we can tell that they're going into that desperation mode, which is what was essentially Rogue One anyway. So it's cool to see that Cassian dealt with a lot of things even before he went to Rogue One, but pretty much, and we'll talk about that a little bit later when we get to when he meets the other, you know, the new rebels essentially. So, that whole scene to me was cool, and just the desperation I thought was played off really well. The thing that I'm really, really enjoying about this show is they are doing the one thing that I knew Star Wars TV would do, especially when you explore things we don't know, is they're going to expand the galaxy, right? This show very much feels very different as far as not like different from Star Wars, but it feels very different in the sense of how grounded it is, right? It's a very grounded show. So even the thought of the Force and the thought of, like, you know, lightsabers and things like that, they're not really there, because we can see how like grounded this show is compared to what that whole galaxy is. But we still get those little hints, right? Because Luthen gives him that that kyber crystal, saying that, look, I need you to keep this for me. I want you to make sure that, you know, you bring that back. Like, think of it as a down payment. You could sell that for 50K, but at the end of the day, that's always going to be worth more than that to me. So he wants that, but he also wants to gain that trust, right? So he He gives him something that's very high value to himself, to Cassian to hold. And we know Cassian, as much as he tries to hide his morality, it's there, right? Even though we know him as a thief and doing things to survive, we know that that's something that he wants, you know, that that's something that he still has, like, that code of honor, which I thought was really cool. He says that the Kyber, the crystal celebrates the uprising against the Rakathin invaders, which is the Rakathins. If you guys played Knights of the Old Republic, which is the best Star Wars game ever, they do actually get seen in that game for the first time. So that's a fun little one. If you guys remember in Knights of the Old Republic, the 2003 one, not the MMO. So that was really cool. After that scene, we pretty much are going to see what that mission is, but we cut to what the Empire is, and we can see how the Empire is dressed in Coruscant, very much like Krennic was in Rogue One, which in that all white, a lot of a very clean looking thing before it got, you know, darker later on in the series of Star Wars. But I can, you know, you see how clean, like how different they look opposed to some of the, you know, the generals and stuff like that. So we have supervisors all on Coruscant, and we know Coruscant is just a very rich, is very rich. So we know how a lot of these, like how they're going to that, like, look, you know? So I thought that was really cool that we see those outfits that are really similar to Krennic, because, it's giving us that Rogue One vibe, right? Because this is what this show is. It's supposed to be essentially, it is, you know, Andor's prequel to before he shows up to the events of Rogue One. So seeing all of these things that show us how Rogue One is, or things that lead up to Rogue One, and how those things are playing out, I thought is really cool. So we do see the Empire being the Empire. Basically, what I mean by that is they're always trying to step over each other, right? It doesn't matter what the debate is or who's in power or something like that. The Empire always are trying to find a way to outdo each other so that they can be in the high ranks, so that people can see that they're doing some stuff. And we see that between, I think it's Didra Morrow and, I forget the other guy's name, but basically they're kind of having that back and forth about, like, you know, the mission details. We do see Major, Portugas, which is, if you guys watch Game of Thrones, that is, the Maester from Game of Thrones, which I thought was pretty cool. And I love his delivery on how he talks, how it's very direct and very straightforward. Like, it's just very like, well, you could have done this or you could have done that. Like, he totally has an answer for everything. And his delivery for all of that, I thought was perfect. But basically we find out, about the events that we saw in the last episode of how everything went down. And, we also see that they get, sent out to say, hey, you got to go fire those guys, essentially, like, because of all that thing that went down. So we see, I forget his name, but we see, gosh, what is his name? We see the security guy, who was trying to chase them, pretty much get fired from his job because he went across doing that for no reason. Like, he did what he was just doing what he was doing after he was told not to do it. And even his supervisor was just like, look, I had no parts in this, so I don't know why I'm getting in trouble for this, which I agree with him, right? Because he clearly told him to stand down, don't do any of this. And then he ended up doing it anyway. So to be blamed for that, it sucks, because you told him, look, don't worry about it or don't pursue this. And then he still did it. And now you're also in trouble for it. So I found that very interesting. He goes off to his mom. His mom's really upset with him. But obviously, like with the motherly love, the way that it is, they're always going to take you back no matter what the situation is. So, and ends up giving him a hug. So that pretty much ends where he was at. We do see that Luthen then changes his, you know, while we see him basically set up the mission for Cassian and tells him, you got to go by this new name. This place is on Aldani. So Aldani, like I said, perfect thing about these TV shows is that they can really expand this universe for us. And this is something that I've always, always wanted in Star Wars, because the books and the comics do a really good job at this, but we never actually see it in TV like we are now, especially when they're dealing with like Mandalorian, when they're dealing with this show here, where we're just going to new areas that we haven't seen before, or, you know, certain missions, or just even if we go to some of the places we know before, they're showing us new areas of that stuff. That's what I've always wanted for Star Wars, because I feel like you have this big universe to play with. Like, play with those planets. Like, let us know that there's a whole other galaxy. Like, it doesn't have to be stuck to like the same four planets. So even though we saw Coruscant in here, it's still like a different version of Coruscant that we're seeing, right? We're not seeing a Coruscant that, you know, we're seeing how it was at its peak when the Empire was taking over. And I think those moments for me are cool. And we see things like that in Rebels and Clone Wars. And I think seeing that more just expands the universe and allows you to play with the universe so much more than when you bottleneck it. So I thought that was really cool that we did that. So we go to Aldani and then we meet Val, which clearly Luthen knows about her and knows that she is not going to appreciate having a new person in the mission. And Luthen knows all that. He's basically like, she's going to hate this idea, but like, I need you to trust, like, you know, I need you to trust it. I need you to trust him, because this is what's going to happen. I need you to take charge. He actually gets really like upset with her, because again, it's showing off that desperation and that that drive to make sure that this plan that he's working on and trying to overthrow the Empire from the inside, that he needs that like he needs it to be done, because there's going to be more reasoning for it. And we'll find out later on. But there is a reason for that, right? Like, and he wants to take care of it. So Val ends up accepting it, saying like, this is cool. She sets out the groundwork for basically what Cassian can do and what he can't do, saying like, listen, you got to tell the crew that this was my idea. The crew was not a fan of Cassian's arrival, who is going by Clem now. And rightfully so, right? Three days before the mission, you're adding this new face that nobody knows about, and it's just out of nowhere. And it kind of feels in a distressing way, as like they see Val, right? They're like, Val, why didn't you tell us about this beforehand? Like, you knew that this was going to happen. She does say, you know, oh, this was because I wasn't sure if we were going to be able to get him, but this is 100% on me, even though she knows that it is actually Luthen who's the reason why he's on this mission. She just has to show up with the confidence and let them know like, hey, this is a person you can trust. So I think that's, you know, obviously going to lead us to something. I love that we were laying down the ground plan of them going into the garrison, the Imperial garrison, and basically Cassian saying like, this is a suicide mission, which obviously we know, foreshadowing, he's not going to die, but we also know that that's hinting towards what happened in the events of Rogue One, because that was a legit suicide mission, like what they were doing. So I think just those little alludements and things like that to me are always going to make me happy. Just things that give us that sense of, hey, yeah, like you're referring, like you're foreshadowing this or you're referring to that. And it's always cool to see stuff like that. I will never, I'll always be happy to get things like that. But yeah, that pretty much ends where their story was. It was very pretty much straightforward. Just, you know, crew members not happy with a newcomer coming in. Cassian saying he's all about it. He's ready to help them as like any way he can, even though he didn't necessarily agree with the plan. But they did let him know about this event that was going to happen every 3 years. So they have a 9-minute window, essentially, which sounds crazy. But that's what you want to see, right? You want them to be on a mission that's going to seem like they can't survive, right? And we don't know how many people are going to survive. We just know Cassian's going to survive. So it's going to be interesting to see when that mission actually happens, who's going to come out of it alive, what are going to be the consequences? Is there something that's going to, you know, Cassian's going to have to choose and do in order for him to get out, like, because he cares about being like surviving. So all that is going to lead up to something that, you know, is going to be really exciting once it goes forward. But after Luthen essentially drops him off, he goes to Coruscant. He puts on a wig and, you know, shows out like basically looking like someone who owns something. And then we find out that he's actually like one of the people who sell at a antique shop, which again, we don't know. We don't know what he did. Like, clearly it's a cover up, right? But then we do see the return of a character, Senator Mon Mothma, who, if you guys remember, she, if you guys saw Revenge of the Sith, she, if you watch the deleted scenes, she's in there. She's also in Rogue One and was in Rebels. So this is all played by the same actress, which I love when they do that, because it, you know, the voices, especially when they do the, I'm a big fan of whenever they take the voice actors and put them into TV shows as their live action selves. Because for me, like, a lot of people put a stigma on how these how voice actors are, and like, oh, they can't, like, they're actors regardless. Like, it's still difficult to act. You're acting with your voice. That's still a form of acting, right? Like, whether you know, some people can work with their, you know, their expression. That's up to the director. But to discredit voice actors and saying that they can't play or look the part or something like that, to me, I don't think that's true. And I think a lot of voice actors could play certain parts really well. It just, you know, it does depend on obviously like age and things like that, like of those factors. But clearly in this situation, it worked. And I'm happy that they kept her, Genevieve O'Reilly, to play these parts. So I thought that was really cool. We see that, you know, she's looking for a gift for her husband. And clearly there, you know, we clearly Luthen and his assistant there is basically like, look, she's got a new driver. We don't trust the new driver. So they have to do something to, in order to distract him. So she asks him if you want to see the coins. Luthen takes Mon to the back. They basically have their real discussion about why she's there, which is essentially like, this is the rebel plan. I have a person that I want to bring in. Luthen's like, no way. You know what I mean? Which is funny to me and ironic, because the same thing, just like Luthen just did the same thing to Val. And now he's like, no, like, you can't do that. Or like, it doesn't seem like a good idea. And I just think that was crazy that he could see something that Val and be like, yo, Val, you need an extra person. But now, you know, he's telling Mon, no, we can't like bring in new people. And Mon's like, basically like, listen, like, you think who has the most to risk here? Like, I'm a senator. Like, you need to trust me in this situation. We need to bring in this person because like, I need, like, everyone's on my back. I feel like every time I leave my house, someone's on me trying to see what's going on. So she's basically saying, you know, she's struggling to fund the rebellion and she wants to bring in someone else so that into the inner circle so that it can help. Right. He then says it's a daring choice, but I'll trust you. You have the courage to turn back if it should be much. So that's basically saying, yeah, you know, that's going to be cool. After Mon leaves there, we do see her husband, Perrin Fotha, who is basically setting up a dinner. And he says that, you know, they're bringing in some people, some high level guests, which is Aurin Dagor, and which is one of Palpatine's main advisors, and Slay Moore, which I think you can see she's the woman that is in Attack of the Clones, the bald one, and Revenge of the Sith. So yeah, so those were pretty much, you know, characters that we know end up with Palpatine. And Mon is very upset with this. She's just like, why didn't you tell me this was something you were going to do? I don't understand why you didn't tell me, or like why this wasn't on the calendar. And she's feeling, again, very desperate, just like Luthen, very like, I'm doing something that if I get caught, like, this is going to be the biggest risk because I'm like defying the people that are supposed to trust me and stuff like that. So to work with this rebellion. So her just saying this whole thing is basically like, look, I'm not a fan of all of this going on, but it is what it is. Like, but like, next time, don't do that. Like, you know what I mean? Because I need to know who's coming in and out of the house. And we know that she needs to know that more so for what she's doing, opposed to actually being upset that other people are coming into the house. So, seeing that whole situation and her not being able to trust anyone, I think is very cool. It's going to make for very interesting to see how she and Luthen can navigate around trying to fund the rebellion. So I thought that was really cool. And pretty much we see the plan of how the, like I said, we're talking about earlier with the plan with Cassian, and basically they're eating at a campfire and they're telling him, look, you need to know all this mission stuff before, like, the next morning. And the funny line to me was Cassian just being like, oh, like, can I like finish eating my food? Which is true. Like, he hasn't eaten, like, let him finish. And then he's like, she's like, well, I expect you to know this all in the morning, which was a funny way to end it. I didn't think that was going to be the ending. It did seem to me was a little weird that they just ended it there. And was just like, okay, like it wasn't like, it was a cliffhanger, obviously, because like we know it's about to be the mission into the garrison, but it still felt kind of weird to me. It just felt like it wasn't, I didn't expect that to be the end of the show, but, of the episode, but yeah. So for everything else, we do get some Easter eggs. We did get a Saw Gerrera mention, which we've seen in Rogue One. He was in Clone Wars Rebels. I'm pretty sure he's going to be in the show because he's on the posters and things like that. So won't be surprised if we see him. A few other things, what you call it, Hussan Prime is announced. So that's also from The Force Awakens. They did a lot of little details from like the comic books. And again, if you're reading all of Star Wars or playing the games and stuff like that, you'll notice a lot of these things that are pretty cool. They're doing like, Sly Moore also, she was in she's in the current run of, the Crimson Dawn, which was in the new Vader comics, things like that. Is, you know, I love that we're getting a bunch of stuff just thrown in there. And if you are watching or, you know, reading or any of that stuff with Star Wars, even if it's non-canon, they're kind of just slowly throwing things in there. And that's something that I love and will always appreciate. So I thought that was really cool. And just, again, this show is exactly what I wanted it to be. Very grounded. It feels very like, everyone feels like they're a little bit like can't be trusted, because that's exactly what Andor is, right? Like a character who is very much skirting that line of like, you know, doing a good thing, but not doing it the way that most people would expect it to be. And like him knowing his character, saying like, you know, people like us need to be able to do the dirty work for the rebellion. I just think the show perceives that also. And we can see those little, like everyone being a little tricky or a little like not telling their full plans or things like that. And the fact that this show is around Andor, who's a character like that, I think everyone else being like that too, and just showing that like very much, you know, skirting the line is a really cool concept for the show. I love how grounded the show is. I love how much we're exploring the whole galaxy. So for me so far, I mean, I think we're eight, this is going to be 8 episodes. This would be the halfway point. I believe it's 8 or 10. I could be mistaken, but either way, we're close to the halfway point at this point. So, overall, I've been enjoying it. I can't wait for the next episode. So that is going to pretty much wrap it up for this episode for me. So guys, again, if you like the content, please like, subscribe, comment, review on the anywhere you're listening to this from. Those do help with visibilities and just getting more eyes and ears onto our content. So, I really appreciate you guys. So we'll have some other stuff for you this week. I'll be dropping the She-Hulk episode sometime this week, Rings of Power, and then the following week we'll have House of the Dragon. If you haven't caught the House of the Dragon episode, I did release that one previous to this one, so go ahead and take a listen to that if you're watching the show. So besides that, I also might do a Blonde, the new movie about Marilyn Monroe with Ana de Armas. So I might be doing a review on that, but it really does depend on this hurricane. It's really dark outside and all that stuff, but I got through it. Thank you guys for joining me again. Until next time, Fire Team.